is the 13th January 1992. We'll continue our Dhamma talk. Yesterday we explained how can a meditator overcome his doubt about the existence of a person, a being itself, or is still in the past existing, and the present existence and future existence. When he has rightly understood the cause and effect of the existence, he has no doubt about the existence of a personality, individuality, because he can judge there is no so-called a person, a being, a self or a soul, which is everlasting entity. What really exists in the world is just law of a causal relation, cause and effect. So when you have realized that the cause of the following existence, if you rightly understand the cause of the following existence, then you have no concept of a person, a being, Sakaya deity or other deity. Because the following existence is conditioned by the absence of the last consciousness of the first experience, the previous experience, and also the absence of craving for existence. So when you are able to realize it, there is no craving for existence, you won't be reborn again. Only because you have a craving for existence, you have to be reborn again. But the craving for existence and the present life is just a cause, just the cause. It gives rise to the first consciousness of another existence. So the cause, the craving for, that is the craving for existence, doesn't take over another existence or doesn't go to another existence, because this craving, one of the mentality, mental process, arises and then very instantly passes away. It's not everlasting. It's impermanent. So it can't go to the other existence, but it can be the cause of the rising of the other existence. When it arises, this craving, the cause, craving for existence rises, then it can give rise to the first consciousness of the another existence. The craving for the existence is the cause. Then the arising of another existence, both mentality and corporeality, is a fact. Nothing goes from the previous existence to the new one, the following existence. Nothing transmigrates from the previous existence to the following existence. Then here, what is the cause of the craving for existence? If we have a craving, we are sure to be reborn again. Because we crave for being reborn in the next existence, unless we have the craving for being reborn next existence, we won't be reborn. The Arahant who has completely destroyed all the mental defilements, beginning with the ignorance, attachment, craving, and so on, hasn't any desire or craving for being reborn another existence. So he is not a reborn another existence. Then what's the cause of the craving or the desire for another existence? The Buddha said, the cause of the craving for another existence is ignorance. The craving or the desire here is known as a tanha in Pali. The ignorance is called avidya. The ignorance of the natural process of a bodily and mental phenomena. You take this dual process to be a person, a being, a nine, or a you. Then Sakkaya Ditthi, Adda Ditthi, the view of a personality, individuality arises. When the concept of personality, individuality arises, that person, that I, have a desire for existence. That person, that I, have a craving for existence. Then, the ignorance of natural process of a mental and physical phenomena is the cause. The idea, the arising of the concept of a personality, individuality is effect. The concept of a personality, individuality is the cause, the arising of a desire or craving for existence is effect. When the desire or craving for existence together with the passing away of the last consciousness of the previous existence is the cause, then the arising of the first consciousness of the following existence is the effect. So, the original cause of another existence, which is full of a great deal of suffering, is ignorance. Ignorance of a mental and physical phenomena is put in another way. If we put this ignorance of a mental and physical phenomena another way, it's ignorance of the truth of suffering, the first truth, dukkha satya. Because mental and physical phenomena are the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, the Buddha said. When you have mental process, mental phenomena, you are sure to suffer from it. When you have physical phenomena, you are sure to suffer from it. So all these mental and physical phenomena are suffering, or the truth of suffering, dukkha satya. Ignorance of this mental and physical phenomena means the ignorance of dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So when you want to destroy the craving or the desire for existence, first of all, you have to endeavor to destroy the ignorance, avidya. When you want to destroy the ignorance, avidya, you have to thoroughly realize mental and physical phenomena in their true nature, the truth of suffering. So mentality and corporeality, which is the truth of suffering, is to be thoroughly realized, the Buddha said. So this is the truth of suffering, both mentality and physicality, are to be thoroughly realized, completely realized. It's called a prajñāya. Idaṃ kopana bhikkhave dukkhaṃ ariya satyaṃ prajñāyaṃ timē bhikkhave pubbe ananuttasute su dhammesu cakkhuṃ uddhāpādi paññā uddhāpādi ñāṇaṃ uddhāpādi vaicchā uddhāpādi ālokā uddhāpādi. You have understood. You don't understand it. That's passage in Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Wheel of Dhamma, the first sermon expounded by the Buddha. It means that both mental and physical phenomena, which is the truth of suffering, is thoroughly to be completely realized. Thus, I have a vision. Thus, I have insight. Thus, I become to have enlightenment. I'm begun to have a light, and so all these words refer to the enlightenment, which penetrates into the truth of suffering, bodily and mental phenomena, and their true nature. What the Buddha here means is that unless you are able to realize bodily and mental phenomena, which are the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, you cannot get rid of suffering. Because if you do not rightly understand the suffering as a suffering, then you will take it to be not suffering or happiness, pleasurable, and so on. Then you are attached to it. When you are attached to suffering, you won't strive to get rid of it because you are attached to it. In your meditation and practice, when you are attached to calmness, tranquility, serenity, you are experiencing and your meditational practice, then you are afraid of losing it. So you have to attach to it, you grasp it. Then, because of that attachment, grasping, you couldn't attain the higher stages of insight knowledge. Because you are delayed by this attachment to the calmness and tranquility, which is a very trivial things, if it's compared to the cessation of a suffering. But you don't know it, so you are attached to it, then you won't strive to go up the other stages of a higher stages of insight knowledge. Then you stay there. The attachment to calmness, serenity, tranquility is also subject to impermanence. Then, if the concentration becomes weak, tranquility, quietness gone, tranquility gone, serenity disappeared, then again, you get down to the foundation of your meditation, the base of your meditation. You have to try to concentrate your mind more and more deeply at being mindful attention very deeply so that you can concentrate your mind well on the object of meditation. In the same way, you do not realize or rightly understand the body-mind process, psychophysical phenomena, as just a suffering, then you are attached to it. When you are attached to this suffering, you won't strive to free from it, because you take it to be happy, to be desirable, pleasurable, and so on, because you do not rightly understand it as suffering, So you do not put much enough effort in your practice to get rid of this suffering. Even you do not meditate in order to get rid of this suffering, because you take it to be a good thing, happiness, pleasure, enjoyment, and so on. Only when you have rightly understood this embodiment process as a suffering, or this truth of dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, as a suffering, as the truth of suffering, you want to get rid of it, you want to free from it. When you want to free from it, you'll find out the way which leads you to the extinction of all kinds of suffering, because you do not want it. So, to realize bodily and mental phenomena, the truth of suffering, dukkha, satya, as just suffering, then, yes, if you have rightly understood dukkha, satya, the truth of suffering, that is a mental and physical phenomena, it means you have destroyed the ignorance, avidya, of our body-mind process. When the ignorance of our body-mind process has been destroyed, then you won't have a craving for existence, because you have rightly understand body-mind process just as just a suffering. So you won't have any craving or desire for another existence, which is also which also constitutes mental and physical phenomena, the truth of suffering. So, to destroy or to remove, to eradicate the ignorance avidya about bodily and mental phenomena, you must rightly understand, you must realize bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. That right understanding of a bodily and mental phenomena as a just a natural process of a mentality and physicality and which are subject to impermanent suffering and no soul, no self, and impersonal nature. Then ignorance has gone. That right understanding is called Sammadhiti, one of the eight factors of a noble path which leads you to the cessation of suffering. Sammadhiti, right understanding. You rightly understand bodily and mental phenomena, the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, as just suffering. That right understanding, right view, exterminates the ignorance. When ignorance is absent in your mind, then you won't crave for another existence. Then you won't be reborn again. So, right understanding of mental and physical phenomena is the most important factor to destroy the ignorance and the craving for another existence. Then how can you rightly understand mental and physical phenomena in their true nature? Yes, there's a way expounded by the Buddha to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena as they really are. That way is called the middle way or the middle path. The middle way or the middle path. Majjhima Patipada in Pali. This Majjhima Patipada, the middle way or the middle path, is also mentioned by the Buddha in the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana, the wheel of a Dhamma. There, Dweme Bhikkhave Anda Pavajitena Nase Vitapa Katame Dwe Yojayam Kame Su Kama Sukhanika Nuyoga Hino Gamo Poto Janiko Anariyo Anatha Sanghito Yojaya Ada Kilamata Nuyoga Dukho Anariyo Anatha Sanghito Iti ko bhikkhave upo ante anupakkhamma majjhima patipada tathagatena abhisambuddha chakkhu karani jnana karani upasamaya abhinnyaya sambodhaya nibbanaya samuddhati. Have you heard of this passage in Pali? No? That said, with a view to making you hearing the Buddha's original words in the Majjhagabodhana Sutra, I recite it. The meaning here is, Bhikkhus, there are two extremes in the world. What are they? The first one is indulgence in sensual pleasure. The second is self-mortification. These two extremes do not enable a person to get rid of suffering. Then what you should practice, what is that middle path? Middle path or middle way can consist of 8 factors. What are they? Sammadhiti, sammasankappa, sammavaccha, sammakammanta, sammajiva, sammavayama, sammasati, sammasamadhi. You have a good knowledge of this Noble Eightfold Path, I think. Yeah? The first one, sammadhiti, right understanding. The second one, samma sankappa, right thought. These two factors are known as, these two factors are included in the group of wisdom. Sammadhiti and sammasankappa. Then the third one is sammavaccha, right speech. Sammakammanta, right deed or right action. Sammajiva, right livelihood. These three are in the group of sila, virtue or moral conduct. Then sammavayama, right effort. Sammasati, right mindfulness. Sammasamadhi, right concentration. These three are in the group of concentration. In this way, the Noble Eightfold Path is classified into 3 trainings. The first one is a training in wisdom. The second is a training in sila or virtue. The third is a training in samadhi, concentration. This Noble Eightfold Path is known as the middle path or the middle way, which leads a person to the cessation of all kinds of suffering. So the Buddha said, you must develop this Noble Eightfold Path, the middle way, so that you can get rid of all kinds of suffering. Eradicating the original cause of suffering, that is ignorance. Then its effect, craving or desire. In this way, you can free from all kinds of suffering. This middle way is expounded by the Buddha as Magga Sacca, the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering, Magasajja. Then, if you develop this Noble Eightfold Path in you by means of a mindfulness meditation, there arises right understanding Samadhi, which realizes all mental and physical phenomena as they really are. Then when Bodhimanda process is rightly understood or realized, you have no desire for it. You have no craving for it. So you have no craving for another existence which consists of bodily and mental phenomena, the truth of suffering. So, to eradicate the ignorance and the craving or desire, you have to completely realize or rightly understand nama and rupa, materiality and mentality. Which is the truth of suffering, dukkha sajja. So dukkha sajja, the truth of suffering, materiality, mentality is to be completely realized, prajñāya in Pali. Prajñāya. Then why do you need to exterminate the craving for existence or craving for existence, that's a mental and physical process, because you need to or you want to get rid of the suffering. Then how can you do away with this ignorance and craving by rightly understanding the truth of suffering as just suffering? How can you rightly understand this truth of suffering, materiality and mentality, by developing the Noble Eightfold Path, Magasajja, the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering? When you develop Noble Eightfold Path and you then the main factor of a Noble Eightfold Path, which is right understanding, realizes mental and physical phenomena, the truth of suffering, as just suffering, then you have eradicated ignorance. When you have eradicated ignorance, then you have also eradicated the craving or desire, it's a result. When you don't have a craving or desire for existence, then you get rid of suffering. Then here, what should we do with the craving or desire? Should we try to possess them of to have them? Should we develop this craving or desire, what should we do with them? Note them. We should destroy them. We should abandon them. We should overcome them. We should eradicate them. We should exterminate them. Yes, because they are the cause of suffering, the immediate cause of suffering. So this desire or craving is to be completely abandoned or to be completely destroyed. Pahatapa, we call it in Pali. The Buddha said, Idam ko bhikkhave dukkha samudaya ariya sacca pahatabhanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananau sute su dhammesu yakkhum udapari panya udapari jnana udapari vijja udapari aloko udapari dhammacakka potana discourse of the wheel of dhamma said in Pali. Most of the Burmese Buddhists memorize this sutta in Pali, but many of them do not understand the meaning of it. But they memorized and chant it with a view to accumulating the meritorious deeds. This is what the Buddha said. This is the teaching of the Buddha in their mind. Then they chant. Yes. Here the Buddha said, Pahatapanti me bhikkhave. Pahatapa means the desire or tanha in Pali, craving, is to be abundant, to be destroyed, pahatava. If a desire or craving is not destroyed, it causes suffering to arise, both mental and physical. So if anyone does not want any suffering, mental or physical, he must endeavor to abandon or destroy this tanha or attachment or craving. So this is a pahatapa, which must be abandoned or destroyed. Then how can we destroy this tanha or craving, that desire or craving, that's tanha? Here, I forgot to tell you. Then, what is the cause of suffering? You know that. What is the cause of all kinds of suffering? Yes, ignorance is the original cause. There is also immediate cause. What is the immediate cause of suffering? Attachment, desire, or craving. This is the cause of suffering. So, you brought your car here when you came here to retreat. You brought your car. Your car is very useful and your life, so you are attached to it. Are you attached to it? No. Yes, very much attached to it. Then suppose the guy is taken away by someone. When you look for it, you didn't see it. The guys are gone. You are very happy. Eh? Are you happy? Suffering. Unhappy and worried about it. Sometimes the sadness rises. How shall I go to my home on foot? Then that unhappiness, worry or sorry, is a suffering, mental suffering. Then which causes that mental suffering? I or you? Attachment to the car causes suffering to arise. So attachment, desire or craving is the cause of the immediate cause of suffering. Do you agree with me? Yes, if you agree with me, you it means that you agree with the Buddha. Because the Lord Buddha teaches us the attachment, the desire, craving is the cause of suffering. Samudaya Satya, we call it. Samudaya Satya, there are, as you know, four kinds of Satya, the truth. The first one is the truth of suffering, dukkha satya. The second is the truth of the cause of suffering, samudaya satya. The third is the truth of the cessation of suffering, nirodha satya. The fourth is the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering, magga satya. Then here, I explain you the first one, dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. By the word the truth of suffering, the Buddha refers to all mental and physical phenomena, because they are subject to impermanent and arising passing away, so they are suffering. Then by the word samudaya satya, the truth of the cause of the suffering, he refers to tanha and pali, attachment, desire, craving, lust, greed, clinging, and so on. All these mental state which has the nature of clinging to the object is the samudaya satya, the cause of suffering. Yes, at the cause of suffering, samudaya satya. Then, when you have developed the Noble Eightfold Path perfectly, then you have rightly understood bodily and mental phenomena as just a suffering, then you are not attached to any mental or physical process. You are not attached to your son. You are not attached to your daughter. You are not attached to your wife. You are not attached to your husband. You are not attached to your car. You are not attached to your house. Why? Because attachment, tanha, craving, desire has been destroyed by right understanding samadhi. Right understanding of mental and physical phenomena. Then when you have done away with this tanha, desire or craving, would you have suffering? Dukkha? Huh? No. Why? Because of the cause, desire, attachment has been destroyed. So there won't arise any suffering, dukkha at all. Then here, dukkha suffering ceases to exist. Is it right? Then you have obtained the cessation of a suffering because you have completely destroyed the attachment, desire or craving. You have obtained the cessation of a suffering. The cessation of a suffering is known as Nirodha Satya. Nirodha Satya. The truth of the cessation of suffering. Nirodha means cessation, disappearance, passing away, extinction, end. Yeah, end. The truth of the end of a suffering is a Nirodha Satya. You don't want it. Huh? Would you like to it? Would you like it? No. Dislike. Huh? Yes. That is Nirodha Satya, the truth of the cessation of a suffering. This can be attained through right understanding of mental and physical phenomena. Which destroys the attachment, desire or craving by means of a mindfulness meditation. So, when you have a right, when you can rightly understand mental and physical phenomena as just suffering or anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering and impersonal nature, when you practice the mindfulness meditation, through your experience, you know that you are able to realize lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, movement of the foot when you walk, and rising, falling, movement of the abdomen, bending, stretching, movement of the arm, rising movement from the seat, lowering of your body, lowering movement of your body to the seat. You experience the I forgot to explain you three kinds of dukkha. Trigan Sabaduka. But no, I won't explain it because there's no time, no, only about 5 minutes we have. So, anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering. Here, dukkha, suffering means it refers to mainly sankhara dukkha, one of three types of dukkha. Sankhara dukkha here means the dukkha means the nature of a being constantly oppressed by constant rising and passing away. This is dukkha. Please be careful to grasp the sense of this is what dukkha. This is what dukkha is wrongly understood most of the time. It means that Udiyabaya Pati Sampilana to Dukkha in Pali. The meaning is the nature of a being constantly oppressed by instant arising and passing away. That is what we should realize. Dukkha, anicca, dukkha, anatta. I'll repeat it. Here, dukkha means the nature of a being oppressed, constantly oppressed by the rising and passing away, the constant rising and passing away. So, when you are able to observe all daily activities in more detail, you do not let any activity unmindful. each and every activity is very specifically and precisely observed. Then your concentration, your mind is well concentrated on each activity. Then you come to know there are many activities to observe and to realize. Because you are able to note every intention before every action and movement. So when you sit at the table on the chair to eat your lunch, to eat your meal at the lunch time, first of all, you have to sit on the chair and note it. Then when the body touches the chair, note it. Then when you look at the plate, note it. When you see it, note it. When you have an intention to take the food, then note it. When you intention to lift the hand, note it. When the food is lifted, note it. When you intend to stretch it out, note it. When you stretch it out, note it. How many activities you have? Innumerable activities that you have to note. So, then with the deep concentration, as a result of your enough effort, not strenuous effort, I do not use the word strenuous, enough effort, then you realize there's one activity, then it passes away, then another activity rises, you note it, then it rises, it passes away, Then the follow-on arises and passes away, you note it. Then what do you feel? Get tired. Tired of. Tired of, fed up with. It means the nature of being oppressed by, being constantly oppressed by constant arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomena. It's a dukkha, suffering. So, to realize that this is a kind of a dukkha, you have to develop the middle path or the Noble Eightfold Path by being aware of all mental and physical phenomena, by being mindful of all mental and physical phenomena. In this way, gradually the mind concentrated and the insight knowledge becomes penetrating and sharp, and it realizes impermanency. The nature of being oppressed by constantly oppressed by rising and passing away, and the nature of the impersonal nature. Then you have destroyed the ignorance. Then you have destroyed desire and craving. Then you don't have any desire for existence. So you have got the cessation of suffering, Nirodha Satya. I cut short my talk. The time's up. Tomorrow I'll continue it. May all of you rightly understand what the Buddha teaches us as the way of deliverance, and strive for it.